We would love for you to hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say today. And there was a lot of newsy developments and also thoughts from Kyle that we found important from his meeting with the media today. So take a listen. Here's Kyle Shanahan, who, as always, starts off with the injury report.
Injuries for the game: Matt Wright will be out, Jake Moody will be out, Juwan Jennings will be out, Kevin Givens questionable, Luter questionable, and Ricky will be activated full go.
What does that just mean for the spirit of the team to have Ricky back in uniform and on the field?
The guys are pumped. He's been around the guys for a while now, so it's not like he hasn't been around, but practicing all week. It's been great to see him out there. I think the guys were more real happy for him that he could get back and be a part of it, and he's had a hell of a week, and we're just pumped to get him out there with us.
You mentioned he was a little winded on Monday practice, and how is he now?
Great. I mean, we were doing a walkthrough and he was winded. So I don't think it was winded as in stamina. It was more, I think he was so excited to be out on the field and stuff and things like that. And right after we say that, because I had him break the team down and he was a little out of breath, but I think it was more excitement than winded since we hadn't broke a sweat yet. But he was awesome.
What can you do at this stage? Special teams, return punts, just play receiver? Like at this, you know, just this early stage, what would you feel comfortable with?
Whatever he's needed at. I mean, he's got roles on special teams. He's got a role as a receiver, and we'll see how the game unfolds. But I mean, he's healthy and ready to go.
Because he didn't get much training camp, and obviously he hasn't had as much until now. I mean, do you have to, have a snap count or some sort of workload limit for him?
But we don't look. I mean, you only get so many guys up, so I mean, you put guys in what they're ready for. But you know, it's always hard with the snap count, on when it's not a preseason game and things like that. But Ricky's been studying. He's beginning a ton of stuff. I know he'll get better as the year goes, so we understand that with our expectations and everything. Missing all the practice, missing some time makes it harder just schematically and everything, getting out of the huddle. But he's working his butt off to catch up. He's gotten better each day, and I know he'll get better each week.
Would he be up if Jennings was good to go?
Yes.
Jordan Mason, everything's
good to go.
Limited all week, or
he's not today. He's full on Sunday.
How we work the kicker situation? You guys obviously some gymnastics roster wise.
Matt Wright will end up going on IR. Yeah, he's hurt worse than we expected, so he can't get back. And Jake Moody is still week to week. It's high ankle sprain, so I'm not expecting him next week either. But hopefully after the bye.
So we move Carlson up from the back as well?
Yes.
Is he allowed to make a tackle, Carlson?
It definitely is allowed to. But only in case of emergency. So I hope he isn't attacking anything. But if your choice is just to give up a touchdown or not, we'll always choose to not give up that touchdown. But hopefully he can stay out of harm's way.
Was Josh Dobbs the scout team quarterback during the week?
Both of them were. Yeah.
So no change, number 2, number 3,
that is
coming in?
No.
Just for housekeeping purposes, the activation for Pearsall will happen tomorrow. Does all that stuff happen on Saturday, or does that?
I believe it'll happen tomorrow. Those are things I don't totally worry about as long as someone does it right. I think that tomorrow by 1 o'clock is when we got to do it, so I'm sure it'll be then.
Kyle, this is a super talented defense, but they also do a lot of, they're very physical at the line, they clutch and they grab. As far as explosives, what's the challenge like this week to try to get explosives against this team?
It's a huge challenge. I don't know what they're ranked right now, but they were at the tops last year, and I know they're at the tops this year. So it's their physicality, it's their back end, it's their backers, it's their scheme, it's their continuity of how long they played together. There's not a lot of holes in their defense. There's not a lot of weak areas. They're good versus the run, they're good versus the pass. They're really good in the red zone and really good on third down. So we got our work cut out for us.
When was Ricky told that he would be up, and did you deliver the news? What was his reaction?
No, I wish I don't know if anyone delivered the news. I wish I could give you guys a better story. But I think, he looked good on Monday. He looked even better on Wednesday, and so we kept repping him. And when you're repping guys like that, and I think he understood he was going to be up, and so there was no magical moment, but you can ask him.
He said on Friday that you expected a longer ramp up, but he also said when he's ready, he's ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I didn't want to go in him thinking like, man, I got to show everybody this on day one, day two, because they're waiting, because they're trying to put me up right away. So there was no expectation in that way. I just wanted to see him. We hadn't seen him out there in a while going with the team. And Monday I didn't even really count just because it was so walkthrough and everything. But Wednesday he looked great, and Thursday was even better, and today's even more comfortable. So made the decision pretty easy.
Is Juan's hip increasing long term?
No, I don't think it's long term. You know, I hope he'll be ready for next week. You know, he was close this week, you know, so I'm hoping to get him back next week. All right, guys.
All right, guys. There
right,
it goes.
There's it is.
Kyle Shanahan ready for this one. You came in today with sort of an interesting energy and some interesting thoughts with regard to Ricky Pearsall, who is going to make his NFL debut. I don't know exactly like what the role is. It would have been actually interesting to hear a little bit more about that. I know the guys are pumped.
Right.
There's an inspirational side. But, you know, and then we got the answer, would he still be up if Juwan was up? The answer was a firm yes. But let's go further than that. Kyle, are you using him? Like, when you go to three wides, is that the guy?
That's going to be the guy.
I guess. I don't know that, but I would assume that.
Okay.
That's kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal, but I think about what your other options are. Because Debo is a full go, and Brandon Ayuk is, he's been healthy, and he's been mostly getting better after his slow start. So if you want to go to the next wide receiver, Juwan Jennings is out. We heard that from Kyle. And let's go down the list. You've got Chris Conley, who's been a little bit banged up, and even when he's been healthy, he hasn't played much. Ronnie Bell, and I'll check the snap count on Ronnie Bell since the drop, but I'm not imagining he's had more than like one target. Has he had a target since the drop, Ronnie Bell?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Not that I can remember.
So then you get to Jacob Cowing, who's played maybe a dozen of snaps of offensive football. So what are we doing here? If we go to three wide receivers, and again, they don't do that a lot because they do a lot of two tight ends. They do a lot of two running backs, and they've done a lot this year of two running backs and two tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do go to three wide receivers, who are you going to go with? Because you don't have a lot of other wide receivers that you would turn to. And if Kansas City plays a lot of man-to-man coverage, which it seems like they do, then, you know, who would you rather have than Ricky Pearsall, a guy who is supposed to be the best route runner and the man beater and all the rest
of it? Like, I don't even know how to answer that. You know, I get what you're saying.
Play him. Play that man his football.
Never played football before at the NFL level.
On a Sunday,
so
never, right?
When everyone's like, well, this is what Ricky does. He's the best man beater. Is he? I don't even know if he's an NFL player.
Right.
I have no idea. I know what he's supposed to be. I know what the Niners say he is. I know that they are excited about what he brings to the fold. The fact that they are practicing him for 3 days and immediately entering him in to a huge game suggests that they are very happy with what they see. I get all that. I've also been told by people in the NFL that there are guys who just shrink when the lights come on. He never played in an NFL game before. He's never put a uniform on before.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big ask.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with this guy. 888-957-9570. It would be amazing. It'd be amazing. I like what Salisbury told us. You know, get him the ball like on the first series. Light that stadium up.
Exactly.
It'd be amazing. By the way, here is what Kyle said with regard to Pearsall's role on Sunday.
Whatever he's needed at. I mean, he's got roles on special teams. He's got a role as a receiver, and we'll see how the game unfolds. But, I mean, he's healthy and ready to go.
Okay, so in other words, I ain't giving you crap.
Right.
I ain't telling you what he's going to do.
You know, we're going to start him and stuff, and we're going to target him 14 times and stuff, and, you know, he's going to be in there. I'm just looking at the snap counts for receivers not named Ayuk, Samuel, and Jennings, and I see Conley, who's played 69 snaps, 17%. Ronnie Bell, 59 snaps, 15%. Jacob Cowing, 5 snaps, 1.23%. So those three, Cowing and Bell and Conley, they've played a total of 125 total snaps at receiver.
And how many targets total for the whole group?
I'll give you that in just a second, but we know Ronnie Bell has had probably
three.
Oh, targets?
Yeah, targets.
Well, he's had 2 drops, so I would imagine he's had probably 8 targets. And
is it that many?
I think so. Give me a second. I'll have it for you. And yeah. I don't think that Cowing's been thrown to in his 5 snaps. And Conley, Yeah, Patrick Taylor has one target.
Okay.
And Ronnie has three, one catch, two drops.
Oh.
Conley has three, one catch, two otherwise. And that's the end of the targets.
Six total targets.
Between Bell, Conley, and Cowing.
Right.
Six targets.
Okay.
So can we get Ricky Pearsall that many targets in a game?
Remember, there's no Jennings, too. So in theory, the number three role is open, which has not been the case before with those guys. Brett in San Leandro joining us here on Willard and Dibbs. Hi, Brett. What's up?
Oh, I'm doing great today, and I just wanted to throw some praise on all of you at 95.7 The Game from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's a crazy world. And you guys keep my head out of political horse crap. And, you know, it's fun. I love you guys, all six of you, and all the back staff, too. You know, not equally.
Oh, well, then what are your rankings? But what are your rankings,
this
Brett?
Is what I need.
Oh, geez, man. I'm going to offend people, but, for me, it's
that's what we're going for.
I love me some Steiny and Goo. Oh, well, you want to go for that? All right. You got milk toast and weak tea in the morning. You got the Midday Masters. Love those guys. Absolutely want to. Goo is awesome. And, you know, the afternoon afterthought, you know, I love you guys, too. It's great. It's awesome.
thank you all so much for
just keeping me distracted from the real world, because the real world is crazy, and you guys are doing a great job, all six of you and everybody in the back. I appreciate the hell out of you guys. Have a great weekend. God bless you and your kids, and I'll talk to you next week, maybe.
If you feel like it. See you later, Brad. That's amazing.
Thank you. That was good.
I'll never say
the afternoon afterthought.
I'll never again call us afternoon drive.
No.
We are afterthought drive.
Pretty good.
Yep. I'm into it.
Or the afternoon slow lane, because it's an afterthought.
Oh.
We're just puttering along there in the far right lane.
Just, you know.
Going below the speed limit.
Bebopalooing along.
Putter, putter, putter. It's pretty good. Good call, though.
Sure. They're all good.
Honey, listens for 12 hours.
Yeah,
so.
I love it when people call. Love it when people call.
Do you?
I do.
I do, too.
I do.
It's fun.
I do.
Because that's one of the things, like, I pretty much know where you are in terms of a lot of the topics that we talk about, and you know where I am, and so our conversations are not totally predictable, but there's a certain rhythm to it, a back and forth. Like, you have your things, I have my things, there are things we agree upon, things we vehemently disagree upon, and it's 20 hours, I talk to you, you talk to me, you talk at me.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the deal. But callers, it's the ultimate curveball, because you push that button, and we have no idea what callers are going to. Nobody knows. There's a comment that's typed in.
Unless it's your runt guy. Yeah, I know exactly what he's going to say.
And I need him.
Yeah.
Kurt, right?
Kurt.
Yeah.
This guy's a little runt.
Yeah. Is he in Hayward Hills? Is that where he's been calling from? I feel like it's Kurt in Hayward Hills. That's what I feel like the answer is, but I don't know for sure. But anyway, whatever. You got one more hour to see if you want to get into this clam bake.
Sure.
This afterthought.
The afternoon afterthought.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Our conversation today started with, do you think the Niners are going to win because, or pick the other, the Niners are going to lose because, and fill in the blank. And I can only speak for me. I will pick the San Francisco 49ers to win this game, because they're at home, because they are the more desperate team, and usually when one team needs it more than the other, they usually in pro sports, they get it. And then the other thing that I enter into this conversation is I feel like we have overdone the idea that the Chiefs own the Niners. Do you see Brock Purdy's Niners as a different entity than Jimmy Garoppolo's Niners? I do. And if you do, then the Chiefs have only beaten the Niners one time, and it was obviously as close as can be on the biggest stage. And yes, it's a loss. You're 0-1, and you need to redeem that and all of those things. To me, it makes it feel a little bit less of kind of an overwhelming task that's coming up on Sunday.
That's one way to look at it. And, you know, there are many ways to look at it. And I don't look at any matchup as history being the ultimate dictating factor, but I do look at history as indicative of what has happened between certain people who are still here, mainly the coaches and also their quarterback and your tight end and your middle linebacker and your fullback and other guys who were here and other guys they have who are there, Chris Jones and whatnot. And so you can look at certain players who have been here for all four of those games and coaches and whatnot, and you could start to, I think, draw some lines from then to now. Now, Brock Purdy's not one of them. He played one game against Kansas City and he lost, so that's a factor, but there's many things to look at beyond the history of the matchup.